Please turn with me to 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians, and I want to look at chapter number 16. 1 Corinthians and chapter number 16. As you're turning there, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and in his instruction in chapter number 15, he is just illustrating and the importance of the gospel and the resurrection. He talks about the gospel. He talks about in verse number 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain." Verse number 3, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I've also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scripture." In verse number 11, "Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. And as a result of the preaching of the gospel, they believe and their lives are changed, and now they have a hope that they never had before." It is the missionary's responsibility and work of preaching the gospel. Mark chapter 16, verse number 15 tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 14, Paul writes and talks about his ministry and the ministry of spreading the gospel, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. That's our ministry, to preach the gospel, whether it's here in Alaska or whether it's in a foreign country in Papua New Guinea. The goal of the missionary, the work of the missionary, is to declare the gospel. Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." And it is through Jesus Christ that men may know and have a relationship with God. It is that gospel that we preach. Jesus dying on a cross, shedding His blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And dying and shedding His blood, being buried and rose again the third day. It is the gospel that changes your life. The lives of the people of Papua New Guinea and the lives of those that hear it and believe it. The gospel. But how is a missionary to preach that gospel? And tonight, as we look at chapter number 16 of 1 Corinthians, I find that there are three needs of a missionary. And I want to encourage you and challenge you and to remind us of the needs of the missionary as Paul finishes this book and talks about his personal life and needs that he has. Chapter number 16, if you would, and if you don't mind, would you mind standing as we read God's Word together? Chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians and chapter number 16. Verse number 1 will begin. "Now concerning the collection for the saints. As I have given order in the church of Galatia, so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." Let's go on down to verse number 6. And it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit." Verse number 9, "For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries." Verse number 10, "Now Timotheus, come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as also I do." Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you Wow. To have the privilege to minister and to preach your word, to see souls saved, lives changed, churches started, and the gospel continues to go. Father, thank you for allowing me to have a part in that. And thank you for a loving church, a church who has a heart and a desire to see the gospel to go forward. Not only here locally and Alaska, but around the world. And I pray that your word tonight would have an impact upon our lives. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Three needs as a missionary, and these three needs are nothing new that you haven't heard before, but I think it's important for us to be reminded of it once again. The first need of a missionary, and we find that in verse number 6. Paul says, I'm going to come and I'm going to visit with you and I'm going to abide with you and winter with you, that ye may, and note this, bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. That's an interesting phrase. That is a phrase in which Paul mentions several times in his letters, and it deals with the fact that I want you, and he's reminding the church that I'm going to come and I'm going to visit, but I want you to assist me to furnish for, to provide for the journey. As a church, Paul is saying, I'm going out and I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to start churches, and I want you to assist me on my way. Sounds like missions. We find in Acts chapter 15 and verse number 3, if you like to turn there, Acts and chapter number 15, and verse number 3. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And being brought on their way by the church. We find in Romans in chapter number 15 and verse number 24. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 24, we read these words. Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. The church in Rome, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey. And then he makes a statement, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first be somewhat filled with your company. Third John, if you would. There is a relationship, as we're reading through this, there's a relationship between the church and the evangelist. Church and a missionary. Notice this, as John is writing to Gaius and encouraging him through some very difficult times in ministry. And he talks about verse number 5. Beloved, thou dost faithfully, and whatsoever thou doest, to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles, we therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers of the truth. The first thought this evening is, we need as missionaries your financial support. It's dealing with, in these verses, it's dealing with the church bringing on or participating with the missionary, participating with the evangelist to spread the gospel in the regions beyond. It takes financial support in order to get a missionary to the field.
And your giving is of a necessity to spread the gospel.
In Papua New Guinea, our airline tickets are $2,500 round trip. A gallon of milk is about $8 a gallon. There's expenses that we have. And just as you have expenses to turn on the lights here and salaries to be paid and buses to be upkept and different things that need to be, the printing need to be done, and the tracks need to be printed. So there are expenses that we have also. To be able to get to a village and to travel to a village in a four-wheel drive vehicle, $8, just about $8 a gallon for fuel. The parts, the car is very expensive and getting there. And I don't need to tell you all about that because you yourself understand the expenses and understand that it takes money to be able to do the work of God and to live and to exist. We know all about that. But sometimes as a member of the church, sometimes we need to be reminded. Because there are times that, to be honest, it's a lot easier to think of ourselves and think of our needs and do things that makes us comfortable, and we tend to forget about those who are preaching the gospel and the needs that they have. Giving is vital. It's one of those things that we have to have to be able to do the work that God has called us to do. I cannot, as a missionary, get a job in Papua New Guinea. It's against the law. I do not have the proper visas. And that's not the job. For what I do, the government says you can minister, but you cannot work for pay. And as a result, we depend on churches just like yours to be able to do the work that God has called us to do. We need financial assistance. But there's something else that a missionary needs. Look at verse number 8. Or verse number 9. For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. A great door is open. The door of opportunity is swung on the hinges of opposition. Paul says there's a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. I believe what Paul is trying to say is wanting us to understand is that he needs prayer. God is opening up a door and there is a tremendous door to go through and to start a church. But when this brother goes and starts a church, there's going to be opposition. There's going to be those who will oppose the gospel. As we have faced in Papua New Guinea and preachers faced here in America, the gospel has opposition. And so what we need, what your pastor needs, what your missionary needs, is fervent prayer warriors. We need individuals who will pray fervently for the work of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:25, it says, brethren, pray for us. Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians, finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 11, ye also helping together by prayer for us. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 30, Paul writes to the church at Rome and he says, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye may strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. As a missionary, we need your prayers. That is not just a phrase, oh, every missionary that comes through here says that. That must be something that you memorize and write it down and
have to say, being a missionary 25 years in Papua New Guinea, it's not just a thing. It is a necessity. Money will get a missionary to the field. Your financial support will help maintain a missionary on the field. But it will not keep a missionary on the field. Missionaries come and go. And they have money. But it's not about money. There are spiritual battles that we face that it's hard to explain. There's the opposition that we face that's very difficult to tell about. But as a missionary, going in uncharted waters, if you'd say, where Satan has had a stronghold for ages, and the gospel is going into those villages, there's tremendous opposition. There's death threats. There are times where demonic activity takes place. There are tribal fights, civil unrest. We face physical ailments, dysentery, malaria, amoebas, and we could write a list. And so it's imperative. As a missionary, I ask you, please take a card and pray for us. On our, where we have our coffee, we're with McAuliffe's. They don't drink coffee, and I've been deprived this week. I appreciate their hospitality, but man, they don't have coffee. But on our coffee, where our coffee is, our coffee tray and everything, we have prayer cards. We have a place to put all of our prayer cards. And so when we go get a cup of coffee and do our Bible study and Bible reading, we take a card and pray for a missionary or a pastor. Because I understand the importance of a prayer on behalf of somebody else. You need to pray for your pastor. You need to pray for your leadership. You need to pray for those who are in your mission family, and make it a matter of prayer. They may have the money to be able to stay, but they may not be able to stay because there's such an opposition and such an oppression that they're ready to give up. There's many times I wanted to give up, but I didn't have the money to come home, so I had to stay. But but it was the prayers of God's people that gave us the strength and the encouragement to stay and to minister to a people that so desperately need to hear the gospel. Thirdly, not only do we need financial support, and not only does a missionary need fervent prayer, but from verse number 10 all the way to the finish of this chapter, he named several individuals. Timotheus, Apollos, he talks about the house of Stephanas, verse number 15. Notice what he says about that. They have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Stephanas, Fortunatus, Archaicus. They've supplied a need that was lacking. They refreshed my spirit and yours. Acknowledge them. Acknowledge ye them that are such. Aquila and Priscilla. He lists several people in this text, and there's three thoughts that are about these people that I want to mention, and that is that they were faithful. You know what? Faithful church members are vital, absolutely vital for the missionaries to stay on the field. Why is that? Because you're giving, because your faithfulness in witnessing and spreading the gospel, and people get saved, and exciting to see people get baptized, and the church grows, and as the church grows, the more missionaries you can take on, the more evangelistic you can do. But if you're not faithful, and you don't play the part that God has put you in this body, and you get discouraged and you leave, somebody else leaves, what happens? It affects me. It affects your missionaries. One of the things that I learn about these people that Paul mentions, not only in 1 Corinthians, but in other letters, is that these people were vital. They were instruments that God had used in their local churches to encourage people and to get the gospel out, to support Paul to get the gospel out. You are important. I was raised in a Christian home. My dad wasn't he was a deacon in the church and served in different offices, but it was vital. And he felt it keenly, he was keenly aware of the work that he was doing in church. He was keenly aware that it would affect other people. Do you realize when you come to church, it does affect your children, it affects those around you, it affects other members within the church? How you behave yourself, how you conduct yourself, how you live. Notice, first of all, they were servants. I find that the house of Stephanas, they addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Serving, ministering, serving one another. It is sad when people come to church and they don't look for opportunity to serve. But they come to be served. That needs to change. Because if you come to be served, and you are not served the way you think you ought to be served, then you'll be upset, frustrated, discouraged. And it won't be long. Ta-ta. You won't be playing the role that God intended you to play. We ought to be servants. We ought to come to church looking for opportunities to be an encouragement to one another, to look for opportunities. Pastor, how can I serve you? How can I serve this church? What can I do? Man, this is one of the churches, and don't take this for granted. I don't know how many people come up to me and shook my hand. I watched you this morning, and there's a visitor here, and how many people came around and shook their hands. How are you doing? What can I do for you? Do you need anything? There's not a lot of churches like that, to be honest. And thank you for taking the time to be friendly. But notice something else. Not only did they look for opportunity to serve, but they submitted themselves. If you're going to be faithful in doing what God wants you to do, we need to be submitted not only to the leadership of this church, but we need to submit ourselves foremost to the to the preaching of God's Word. We hear God's Word and we say, oh, I don't know if I agree with that. I don't know if I like that. The Word of God is not up for smorgasbord selection. If we hear it, we believe it, we follow it. And a person who has an attitude of humility, and a person who has an attitude of being a student, and a person who has an attitude of wanting, will submit to God's Word. And as he submits to God's Word, he will submit to God's leadership, and he will submit to one another. They were sensitive to the needs of God's workers. They gave. They gave. They looked for opportunities to meet a need. Notice Paul mentions this, that Fortunatus and Achaicus and Stephanas, for that which was lacking on your part, they supplied. You had an opportunity to participate, but you didn't. And these people saw an opportunity and they gave. we need to look for opportunities to participate in ministering to others. But notice something else. Paul makes this statement. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Spiritually refreshing. I just, being here and has been refreshing. Sitting down with Pastor and talking about ministry and the future of New Guinea, and it was refreshing to me. I needed it. We need to be in a place to be refreshed. And we do that by hearing God's Word. We need to be people who are refreshing one to another. When people meet you, or they say, man, I'm glad he's gone. Or do they say, man, he's such an encouragement. I needed to hear from them. I appreciate them having a desire to pray for me. How are you? Am I refreshing? Are you refreshing one to another? A church needs servants, submission. We need to be sensitive to the needs of others and God's men, and we need to be spiritually refreshing one to another. How's that come about? Well, quickly. He says, verse number 13, watch ye. Don't be like a security guard in Papua New Guinea. We parked our car in front of a store. We had purchased all our month's worth of groceries, and we were getting ready to leave. We had to make one more stop. Our car was jam-packed with food items. We said, well, it'll be safe. I'm parking right in front of a security guard. Everything will be fine. My wife said, are you sure? I said, yeah, trust me. It's all right. Don't worry about it. We go in the store just for a few moments to pick something up. When we come back, my wife notices some people walking down the middle of the street, holding a case of milk and flour and a bale of sugar and different. And I'm thinking, where'd they get that? We go and open the door of our car, which they were very gracious. They had locked the car door. We open up the car door and the backside of the car and getting ready to put our last purchases in the car. When we open the door and ready to place everything in the car, our milk, our bale of sugar, bale of flour, and things that we had purchased for the month, most of it was walking down the street. I looked at the security guard and I didn't have a nice tone to my voice, and I said, did you know anything about this? Why weren't you watching? That is not how we are to watch. We are to watch with anticipation, but in our watching, we are to be on guard to where we can see that Satan is attacking and we can put up our defenses to be faithful to doing what God wants us to do. He talks about watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men, be strong. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't fall backwards. Don't fall down. Why? People are dependent upon you. Your wife is dependent upon you. Your husband is dependent upon you. Your children are dependent upon you. This body is depending upon you. And missionaries are depending upon you. We are all important in the work of God. And one of the things that these men and these ladies had in common, that they were faithful in supporting the work that God had put them in. As missionaries, we need your finances. We desperately need your prayers. But we need you to be faithful members of this local body. And we desperately need you when we come back again to see you here. Unless you're in the Air Force or the Army. But we need you to be faithful. Keeping on doing what God has called you to do. Being that encouragement. And being faithful to the church. And being faithful to your pastor in serving our God in this community. Finances, fervent prayer, faithful people. It's something that we need to get the gospel out. People are dying and needing to hear a life-changing message only the gospel can bring. And if you're not faithful, it'd be very difficult for us to do our part with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.